Thanks for tuning in to QLV, Queer Lehigh Valley, on WDIY. I'm your host, Dr. Ashley Strange, bringing leading-edge conversations about the LGBTQIA+ culture and community of the Lehigh Valley to WDIY listeners that will inspire acceptance and inclusion. I also serve as the Executive Director of the Advisory Commission on LGBTQ Affairs. While I want to be clear that I'm here hosting this show in my personal capacity, and all opinions I share are mine alone, I think you all should know that this work really inspires me, and my guests and I may discuss things that the incredible leaders on that commission are doing from time to time. I'm delighted to introduce my friend Brittany Keel, who is the Vice President of Diversity Councils at Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce and is also the lead of Straight Talk at the Chamber. Brittany, thanks so much for being here.
Of course, and thanks for having me. I'm very honored.
Oh my gosh, it's so exciting. So what we want to talk about today is work when it comes to the queer community. And here in the Lehigh Valley, we're super blessed to have like a lot of different diversity in the Chamber of Commerce. Can you just tell a little bit about what the diversity councils are at the Chamber?
Absolutely. So it's been an initiative that has been instilled in the Chamber almost since they all formed together. So it started as just the Allentown Chamber, and over time, they've come together to be the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. We've gradually included more diversity groups. It started with just the Women's Business Council, and now we have six of them. So we have African American, Hispanic, LGBTQ, women's, and veterans, and young professionals. But it's something that we've found that the community not only needs, they want, but they're also, they look for it. They want to have a place that they can be themselves, that they can feel like this is my group. They understand me, they accept me, but also be able to not only express themselves, but be able to talk about initiatives that they have a passion for, whether it comes out through mixer events where they're maybe supporting a nonprofit, but also educational events where they're able to put their passion into what they believe in and what they know is right and be able to educate the community and the workforce here in the Valley.
That's awesome. And members of the Chamber, they're mostly like owners of businesses and things like that. And so these diversity councils are meant to uplift them while also helping them to uplift their employees and the public.
Correct. It's a good mix. So I'd say 80% of the members that are part of the Chamber are small businesses, so 100 or fewer employees, but really a lot of them are your mom and pop family owned really small businesses that need that extra support. So that's why we're here kind of as the Chamber, to not only be able to support them with that, but be able to help them make connections and be able to grow their business and grow themselves as well.
Now, as far as the Diversity Council, we've got lists of LGBTQ-owned businesses and a list of LGBTQ-allied businesses, so people who are allied with the community. What does that do sort of for the small business?
Sure. So we have what we call an LGBTQ business-friendly directory. So it is a list that's comprised of businesses that we have reached out to ask to sign the pledge, but also that have just reached out to us to sign the pledge, so stating that they are inclusive and that they are pushing towards diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that they are accepting everyone that is a part of the LGBT community, and it's a safe space for them to do business, whether it's shopping, dining in at their business, or whatever it might be. So we actually give them a window decal that they can put on their establishment. We also send them over an electronic detail as people are maybe shopping online or doing research online to find out what the business does, but they can also see it there so that they immediately know and it clicks for them that this is a safe business for me, that I can shop and do business with that business here in the Valley.
Yeah, and I know that that's important for me. I know that symbols, we can talk about like flags are just pieces of bunting and like stickers are just stickers, but specifically for our community, like being able to know that when I walk in here, I am going to be treated fairly is something that should be just across the board how business operates, mm-hmm. but that's not always the case.
Absolutely. And I think that some businesses, they want to do it because it's the right thing to do, but I think that sometimes they also don't understand how impactful, like you're saying, that is to these individuals. because some of them might not feel at home when they're at home, but to be able to shop and feel at home is a big thing in the community, to be able to support the people that are living in the community here.
Yeah. How many businesses are on that list, just if a roundabout skis?
I would say a couple hundred. And I'd say the work is absolutely not done. There's so many businesses in our largely High Valley here, so we are constantly checking the list to make sure that we have the correct information for these businesses. And as new businesses are coming to the Valley, as part of when they kind of join the chamber, we always ask them, are you interested in the diversity councils? Which one? Are you LGBTQ owned? Are you African American owned? So that we're making sure that we're getting that data to help our community here.
And big picture, like, why is it so important to know which businesses are owned by who?
I mean, I think we have to be collecting the data some way. I think it's important to know what businesses are here, what they represent, and what the community represents, so that we know kind of what the needs are for certain businesses, where areas need to grow, and as well as the people that are coming in, that are traveling in, that are moving here. They need to have a reason. Why are they moving here? Is it safe for them to live and work here based on the demographics that are here in the Lehigh Valley, as well as the businesses that are in the Lehigh Valley?
Yeah, that's a really big thing, because we've seen a lot of folks coming in and just wanting to live here. But, you know, we've got to make sure that it's equal and safe for everybody.
Right.
Yeah. I think going off of that, we have a lot of businesses that helps, you know, the small business owners. But let's say that you're a business owner in the Lehigh Valley, or you're an employee of a business here in the Valley, and you look up on the list and you don't see your name on the list. How do you make sure that you're represented?
Absolutely. I think the best way is if you found the list, it means you probably can find some contact to reach out. We also have several platforms within our website. We send out emails to try to get as many as possible, or call a friend. I'm sure if they're a business owner, I'm sure you all know other business owners. So call a friend. I'm sure there's someone in your network that is connected and already has signed the pledge and is already on the list that could get you on that list.
Awesome.
The more, the better, for sure.
Yeah. That's super awesome. We want to make sure that there's as many people that are affirming. Let's say that they want to be affirming. They want to be like an LGBTQ ally on the list, but they're not quite there. Like, what are some things that the chamber does to make sure that people get to that point?
Sure. So one thing that we always push is, do you have a non-discrimination policy within your organization? We also have several resources that we partner with in terms of connecting them with, maybe they can get some training. Like Bradbury Sullivan does a lot of training. ACE does a lot of training. Kumari does a lot of training. So connecting people with folks like that can do training in their businesses to expose them to what they, because it seems like they want to be inclusive, maybe they just don't know how, or what does that mean to the business. But I think education in that aspect is what's really key, so that they're educated on what it means and how they can be better and be the best allies that they would like to be for their business and themselves as well.
Yeah, because sometimes it really is just as easy as saying like, oh, we're going to treat everyone equally here, like we are not going to discriminate. But like, it's especially helpful if it's in their policies.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. And I think smaller businesses, they just need a little bit of extra help. They naturally might not have all of those resources because they're so small. Their owner might be doing the hiring, the firing, the payroll, the finance, like absolutely everything, and working in the actual store. So sometimes they just need a little bit of extra help to kind of get them to where they want to be.
Awesome. And it's great to know that the chamber is here to help with that. So you were talking about ACE and Kumari, like there's a gaggle of us. There's a gang of us that meet pretty regularly about how we can, you know, get information out there and really diversify the Valley. So can you tell us a little bit about Straight Talk?
Absolutely. So Straight Talk has been around for quite a few years, pre-COVID years. It actually, the name came to us from a previous committee member who at the time worked with Olympus, and he was doing what they were calling Straight Talks when he was in college, because he came out in college and didn't feel like it was a safe place necessarily, and that he felt like there was other people that maybe were just like him. So they put something together called Straight Talk so that they could educate the community on various topics that are close to them and how they identify. So it started as we had folks on the panel that maybe identified as lesbian, queer, bisexual, transgender, and they were able to educate them on what it meant to them, as well as sharing their personal stories. It also gave an opportunity for folks in the audience, because sometimes folks in the audience, a lot of them are allies and they don't feel comfortable necessarily sometimes asking questions. So we made it an opportunity, especially back then, where they could ask them anonymously so that everyone felt safe and comfortable. They understood that this was a safe space. But since then, it's really evolved. We've done numerous topics. We've done topics on book bans. We've done topics on allyship in the workplace. We've done topics on queer and intersectionality. So we've been expanding it as much as we can as we see a need for the community and the business community to be educated. So it's really an educational platform to be able to push out this education to our community and to our business folks in the Valley.
That's awesome. I know that the last one about sort of how to be an ally in the workplace, it sort of starts as like a 101, like, you know, we get like a little bit of an introduction, and then there's a panel of both impacted folks and also business owners who have done it successfully. So it's a really good opportunity, and we're planning the next one, right?
Yes, we're hoping to do the next one on ERG, so that's employee resource groups. So a lot of the larger corporations are very familiar with this. They have employee resource groups within their businesses, and it almost works as our diversity council. So there's an employee resource group for almost everything, and a lot of folks do have an LGBTQ ERG, but some do not. Some don't know where to start. Some don't know what it is. Some don't know what the conversation should be like. So we want to be able to educate the business community, whether it's large business or small business, on how they can, one, start this and how it's very, very beneficial to the employees that are really making up the business. And those are the folks that we need to be pushing our, you know, pushing our energy back into at the communities.
Yeah, I know that I used to work at, I worked at a bunch of different places, and I've, you see people around you and you're like, oh, well, I could talk about my issues, but I don't know if this is really like a good place for that. And so having an ERG, and whether or not it's affinity related, so like if it's around race or if it's around, you know, gender and sexuality, sort of anything like that, those are sort of good ways for people to learn how to discuss what they're going through at work, because we all gotta work. Right. We all gotta work. We're here.
Right.
We're here. Like we don't really have a choice. But making sure that people feel, you know, respected and protected at work is really, really key.
Right. And like you said, I mean, maybe we don't all want to work, but we spend the majority of our time working or at work, whether it's in person or virtually. So to be able to 100% feel safe and that they're comfortable with where they are, being able to talk about certain things that are going on and being inclusive within the workplace is huge.
Especially when it comes to being accepted. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you weren't accepted, or you had to like hide bits and pieces or do code switching to sort of get through your workday?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said code switching, because that is immediately what popped into my head. I think I code switch a lot, unfortunately, and I think sometimes I'm so used to it at this point that it's almost like it's just like my second identity. It's always happening. And I think that even educating people on that is something that's important, because I think, so for someone like me, that when I code switch, I think that the person I might be code switching to assumes that that's just my normal, that's just me normal. Yeah. But really it's not, because they don't probably understand what that even is and the importance around it. And 9 times out of 10, it's because the person doesn't feel comfortable being who they are in front of someone else, which is why the code switching comes out pretty often.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, with everyone just trying to get through, just trying to get by, there's a lot going on in the world. Like the very least that folks can do is where you've got to be at your 9 to 5, or, you know, if you're working a third shift, sometimes you're, you know, 11 yeah. to 7, right?
Right.
Where you are and where you're working, like we want to make sure that people are respected and protected. And that's part of what the diversity councils are here to do.
Absolutely. And I think it also goes down to like treat others the way you would like to be treated. You don't want to be disrespected. You don't want to feel uncomfortable in your identity. So why would you want to make someone else feel that way and not have them be included and feel inclusive to everything that's going on in the workplace?
Yeah, 100%. Well, we are going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more with Brittany Keel of the Lehigh Valley Chamber.
WDIY News engages the Lehigh Valley with accurate, unbiased reporting from many sources and volunteer real voices. Listen to WDIY News during Morning Edition, Fresh Air, All Things Considered, and Weekend Edition every day here on 88.1 FM, streaming on WDIY.org and the WDIY phone app. WDIY. Many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to QLV, Queer Lehigh Valley. I'm Dr. Ashley Strange, and we're here with Brittany Keel of the Lehigh Valley Chamber. And Brittany, we talked a little bit about ERGs, employee resource groups, and big picture, we want people to be respected and protected, and that's part of what an employee resource group would really do in any workplace. I noticed at a lot of Prides, as we talked about with Justin Parker Fields, like, it's everything. It's a performance. It's a concert. It's a place to go and see and be seen. It's a resource sharing ability. So you'll see at a lot of Prides, you'll see a lot of tables. You'll see a lot of tables of nonprofits. The Chamber usually has a table,
absolutely,
right? Yeah. And you'll also see tables from big businesses, small businesses. You've got, you know, people that make bracelets and those cute little plant holders and things like that. But for all of these businesses, like some of the big businesses, they just sort of want to hand out swag. And some of them are there that I've noticed they're there with their ERG. So, for example, Amazon has Glamazon. And I've seen Weiss, I've seen Wawa and Sheetz. I was like, have you gone across the way to talk to the other people? They're like, no, not today. I'm like, but it's unity. Mm-hmm. So like you'll see a lot of sort of big corporations that have this presence at Pride. In your opinion, what is sort of the goal for any organization that wants to sort of present themselves to the LGBTQ community?
I think definitely to put themselves out there that they're inclusive, but I also think that they are going there with a purpose. So I think sometimes maybe their purpose is to get more sales, get more people in. But I also think that, like what you just said, did they go across street? I think that also that they need to be there to not only do it for themselves and for their own organization, but go out as well. Go to each of these different booths and get educated on what they're doing and what they have to offer. Because a lot of times you might be doing something that's similar where maybe that they can do something a little bit cohesive. Or, for example, a lot of folks do have employee resource groups, but maybe you're hosting your meetings differently than the other group is. And not saying that either one is right or wrong, but you can probably benefit to learn from each of the groups that are hosting different ERGs, or maybe they're doing certain initiatives that are similar to yours. So I think that, yes, it's important to go there and make sure you're making your quota to get however many employees or new employees or whatever that might be, but also to understand that it's also a good resource and educational purpose for not only your business, your company, but the individual that's out there as well.
Yeah, I will tell you, I love a free swag item as much as the next person. The last Pride that I went to, I think the most interesting swag was like a free 10-minute massage.
Oh.
Yeah, so there was
a good one.
Yeah, and so while I was like getting the massage, they were talking about like, you know, how their treatments are, yeah. You know, they want to be inclusive, and so they're making sure to use people's proper pronouns and talk to folks and figure out, you know, that it's about learning about their own bodies so that they can figure out, you know, where to adjust and things
very
like that.
Very creative.
It was the best piece of swag I've ever got.
I believe it.
Secondly is obviously pins. I collect pins. I gotta tell you, I stopped counting at 1,111 just because it's a cute number. But I love a button moment, a pin moment.
I see one.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of organizations that will just hand out pins, and they'll be like, this is why we're here. We're here to sort of slap our logo onto a rainbow flag, mm-hmm, and call it a day. It's commonly called rainbow capitalism, but there's a way to do it. And so what you're saying is like, there's a way to go to a Pride event. Yes, you're handing out like all of this, people love a swag item, and you're handing out information about your business, but there's also a way to connect with the community. And so if you're not doing it at Pride, then, you know, when are you doing it? And the answer is you can do it through the chamber.
Absolutely. And I think just back to the doing it at Pride, I think that's there unfortunately also are businesses that maybe only set up at all these different Prides, but what are they doing throughout the year? Are they doing the work throughout the year? Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Maybe they're doing a little bit, but pride and being an ally and an advocate for the LGBTQ community goes past just Pride Month and doing it at Pride festivals and events and whatnot. So I think it's important to also understand that and to be educated on, like, October, LGBTQ History Month, National Coming Out Day is in October as well. So it's not just one month. It's the entire year that we need to be a resource, being educated and understanding the importance of being there for these people.
Yeah, especially if you have employees that are members of the LGBTQ community, you know, they work for you all exactly. year round.
It's not just one month.
Exactly. And so some of them are comfortable, some of them are uncomfortable at work. And so creating an environment where all of your employees feel safe is really, really important. And when we talk about, you know, getting together with community, some of the folks that I talked to that are members of ERGs, they were saying things like, oh, well, we do go out. We donate backpacks to the community. We do this, we do that. I want to get back to what you were saying about sort of what we can do year round. Earlier in the program, you were saying that there's a way to sort of change your non-discrimination policies and make sure that they're the most up to date. You said that you work with trainers on that, or is that something that you will sort of like help people look through to update those policies?
It's not something that we do in like in-house at the chamber. We would love to do that, but we also understand that it's important for us to support the small businesses. So to be able to be that middle person and connect them with someone that's already doing the work and is maybe a minority-owned business, also LGBTQ-owned or ran, is, I think, important for us to kind of be able to just hand it off and make sure that we're supporting them. So we don't necessarily do it ourselves, but we absolutely support and can absolutely get the business in the right direction of who they need to be connected with to get that fixed and done for them.
Yeah, and for folks listening who might say, like, I'm pretty sure our policies are okay. Sometimes it's something that's just in the weeds. It's something I know here at WDIY, it was a few years ago that they reached out to the Bradbury Sullivan Center and said, hey, you know, we realize that our policies aren't quite up to snuff. And so, you know, they got assistance through the Bradbury yeah. Sullivan Center and were able to update that. So it can be a little bit of a process, right?
Absolutely. And it takes time. It's not something that you ever want to just say, let me do this right now. I want it done tomorrow. It takes a little bit of time. Make sure that you have, you know, the right wording of whoever you might be working with, but to just take your time.
Yeah.
It will be done in the right way in a matter of time.
When you talk about how much time it takes, it's not just about changing words on a piece of paper. It is also about changing the narrative, changing the conversation, and mm-hmm. and changing the culture of your workplace.
Correct.
And that's what almost takes the most amount of time.
Right.
Because you can change your policies, and you can even make sure that those policies are upheld. But a lot of the hard work comes from really changing how you talk about inclusion and diversity.
Absolutely. And I also think that even if you are changing the policy, like making sure that your employees all know that you're doing that, why you all are doing that, what was the policy if there was one, what is the new policy, so that they also have a clear understanding that you are in the leadership of this organization, but it is an inclusive organization. And what does that mean? Because it also might bring up other questions. Like maybe there's employees that have other questions, or maybe there's other concerns that they have that they want maybe a policy on or something else to be discussed, so that they feel also that they're heard. Because unfortunately, I think that there's employees that are really hiding because they don't feel included. They don't feel safe in this environment. So I think that if they know, like, to make sure that the employees know that you're taking this step so that they can maybe voice themselves and feel safe and at home wherever they may be working.
Do you ever come across, and you don't have to call anybody out by name, do you ever come across maybe a business or an organization that they don't understand necessarily everything about the LGBTQ community? They still have questions, they're still trying to process, but they say, I want to still make these changes, but even though I don't agree with it or I don't understand it, I'm still going to sort of push through.
Yes, I have seen that. And I think that sometimes, at least when I've seen it, it's maybe an employee or two that are voicing these opinions to them, and the leadership is not understanding what it might be, even though they may value that person, but they don't agree with it necessarily. But at least in the outcome that I've seen it in, that person in leadership did understand that they need to be respectful for their employees. They value the employees. They want to keep the employees. So they need to kind of come on board and make sure that they are inclusive of this. Because it does really start from the leadership. The leadership is the people that unfortunately have control of what their organization represents and how it is looked at by the community. So they need to be at the top, pushing this down of inclusivity and educating the people where it needs to be educated, as well as a lot of times the people in leadership are the ones that need to be educated. So understanding and being okay with saying, I'm not all the way there. I need to learn. I need to be educated so that I can get there for my folks.
Yeah. And that, you know, some of the power does lie with individual employees or even sometimes with customers. Mm-hmm. And so if a customer, you know, comes in and they say like, hey, I was treated in this way. Are you going to do something about it? And they say, well, that is, you know, it's in our policy that, you know, this, that, and the third, then a customer could sort of bring that forward, or an employee could bring it forward. And that's why it really helps to have, you know, like you were saying earlier, if there's an ERG or if there's just a business that doesn't really know everything, none of us knows everything.
Right.
And so it's really helpful to have a group of other businesses that know that there is real purchasing power in the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And that it's not just about our pocketbooks, but it's also pocketbooks. How old am I? But it's also about, you know, what we bring to the community. Like, there are growing numbers of us, and it's not just because of how we're talking about it and we're learning more about gender every single day, but mm-hmm. it's because that more people feel free enough to come out and be themselves.
Absolutely. And also with the ERGs, a lot of organizations now have like a diversity department within their organization, which I think is also one, helping the ERGs be able to do more things, get more people involved and put their names out there and be educated. But it also helps, I think, employees if there's issues where they might feel discriminated, that a lot of times they go to HR, but I think the diversity department, the DEI department, can go at bat for them and help with educating or getting trainings for all of the employees as well to make it more inclusive.
Now, DEI is something that's pretty new as far as just business goes.
Right. Yeah.
And so DEI, sometimes it's known as DEBI, like diversity, equity, belonging, and inclusion. But a lot of this is a lot of people who start doing DEI work on their businesses, like they'll find that they score really low, or that they're not doing as well as they could. And that's because this is so new. Mm-hmm. And there's really a lot of improvements to make. And so
for sure,
I think one thing that I would say to businesses who are just sort of getting started and they're like, oh, I can't win, like we start really low, as you continue doing the work, like, we can only go up from here. And
absolutely,
this rising tide really lifts all boats.
Absolutely. And just start. I'd say just start. It's okay if we, like we said, we don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. So just start and get the education that you need to get where you need to be at some point.
100%. If folks want to get more involved in diversity councils or in the chamber generally, how would they do that?
I'd say check out our website. It's lehighvalleychamber.org. That's the best way you can find not only all things chamber, all things diversity councils. Our news directory is there. Everything you might need chamber-wide as well as Lehigh Valley-wide, lehighvalleychamber.org.
All right. Awesome. Well, yeah. Brittany, thank you so much for being here. I really, really appreciate it. We talked a lot about, you know, work and being respected and protected. And there are a lot of protections that come through the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission, where if you feel like you have been discriminated at your place of employment, you can always file a complaint or feedback through the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission. And the best thing to do is just go right up the chain, just like you said, just do it. Just do what you got to do. Nike.
Just do it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for being on here. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me. It's been an honor.
Thank you so much for joining us on QLV. My name is Dr. Ashley Strange, and you've been listening to a conversation with Brittany Keel of the Lehigh Valley Chamber. Thank you for listening to WDIY.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to wdiy.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.